This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Sunday morning edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate or Sirius XM, channel 206, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. 4227 is the number if you want to jump on board with us. You could also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tyler Moriello and Ben Horowitz on the other side of the glass. They'll be screening the phone calls and pushing all the magical buttons for the next 4 hours as we take you all the way up until 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. Jason Cole, who's covered the NFL for a very long time, will join us at 3:40 a.m. Eastern. He now works with fansided.com. We will chat with him about Colin Kaepernick, Antonio Brown, Joe Flacco, and many more happenings around the National Football League. We'll also sprinkle in some NBA as well, but where we will start the show on a Sunday morning is with Colin Kaepernick once again. Yesterday on the extravaganza, we did give you my opinions on the settlement between Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed, and the National Football League. We're going to attack it from a different angle, though, to open up the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and that was actually with an interview that Mark Garagos, the attorney for Colin Kaepernick, did yesterday with CNN. Because when we were speculating yesterday on some of the terms of the settlement, which many of them we will not know, and we will never know about them, and there will be things that will be leaked, and some of the things that are going to be leaked will be accurate, and some of them will be false. You never know with the agendas that are on both sides in this particular situation and so many people being involved with the National Football League, how things will get leaked and what agendas will be pushed in the aftermath of this. But I was surprised to hear from Mark Garagos on CNN yesterday because there's not a whole lot that he could say about the actual settlement. But something that did catch my eye and many people's attention as well when we were breaking this down was when they made this agreement and they settled for whatever amount of money it was or whatever the terms of the agreement were, would this mean that this is the end of the potential thought of Colin Kaepernick playing in the National Football League again? And did the NFL say, here's your money, go away from the NFL, or here's your money and you still have an opportunity to play if a team chooses to sign you and give you another chance to play in the National Football League? So CNN did not directly ask Mark Garagos in the terms if he's allowed to play. But in his answers, they were the following: that Colin Kaepernick absolutely wants to play. So that makes me assume and puts me under the assumption that he would be allowed to play if given the opportunity. Because if you're the attorney in this case, why would you go on CNN and say he absolutely wants to play if you just reached a settlement and in the settlement there was a clause saying that he will not play in the National Football League ever again? So that makes me believe that there was not that clause in the settlement, and it's just speculation. But the attorney, Mark Garagos, said that he absolutely, and Colin Kaepernick, wants to play. And then he speculated on some teams that could potentially pick him up. He mentioned the Carolina Panthers, and you have the connection with Eric Reed, who was also on the settlement, as he was brought in by the Panthers last season and also given an extension not that long ago. And with the Panthers, you have the questionable health status of one Cam Newton. Another team that Mark Garagos did speculate about were the New England Patriots with Robert Kraft. And Robert Kraft has a close relationship through Michael Rubin with Meek Mill. So maybe Robert Kraft and an organization like the Patriots, who could handle all distractions, would bring in Colin Kaepernick. And we know that he would not start because you have Tom Brady. But if something does happen to Brady, let's say Brady gets hurt, would you rather want Colin Kaepernick as your backup or Brian Hoyer? And that would be one press conference with Bill Belichick at the podium if the Patriots did bring in Colin Kaepernick, because it would be a media circus. And Belichick, as we know, does not give much to the media. So that would be interesting to see how that would unfold. And then Garagos was very vague in saying in another team, because he believes that one of these three teams will pick him up, and he mentioned it was the Panthers and the Pats. And then he said another one, and you have to use your brain a little bit, is a former coach of Colin Kaepernick's. Well, when Colin Kaepernick was with the 49ers, he was coached by, in a head coaching capacity, Jim Harbaugh, who's with the Michigan Wolverines. So we know Colin Kaepernick is not going to be playing quarterback for Michigan. Maybe if he did, they could actually beat Ohio State. Chip Kelly. Well, Chip is coaching at UCLA, so that's not going to happen either. And Jim Tomsula, who is with the Washington Redskins as a defensive line coach. And the Redskins possibly do need a quarterback, but once again, that's a defensive line coach, so I don't see the connection there. And it's not like Jim Tomsula has serious clout in the Redskins organization. So maybe he was talking about a former positional coach, someone with ties to him. I don't know what he meant by that. But it's also important to point out that even though Mark Garagos says that Colin Kaepernick absolutely wants to play, and he made the prediction that one of the three teams that he was mentioning in the Panthers, the Pats, or the one associated with the former coach will pick him up, doesn't mean that it's going to happen. Because if you remember, in September, TMZ caught up with him, and he said, stay tuned in terms of Colin Kaepernick playing in the NFL again, and he gave a bunch of kind of vague hints about who those teams would be, and it led people to believe it were the New England Patriots or the Oakland Raiders. So when I start to jump into the conversation of will Colin Kaepernick play again in the National Football League, it's two things. Does he want to play again? And according to his attorney, he absolutely wants to play. Now, we did not hear those words spoken from Colin Kaepernick's mouth, but that's his attorney saying so. So I would assume, as there's many assumptions post-settlement, that that does reflect the views of his client. And the other thing is, will he get that opportunity? And when I think about it, and I said yesterday, I don't think he will return to the National Football League. I would have zero problem if he was given another chance to play in the National Football League, and I'd be more than fine with it. And I actually think it'd be very interesting to see how the fan base that he would go to would interact and embrace him, how the team would embrace him, and how it would unfold. And not only if he's brought in, would he ever get that opportunity to play? But what I'm thinking about it right now, in terms of potentially starting next year, and you have teams that are already aligned with their franchise quarterback or quarterbacks that are young right now that are still trying to prove themselves, the three teams that come to mind are the Washington Redskins, with the health situation of Alex Smith, the Jacksonville Jaguars, because Blake Bortles can't be their starting quarterback next year. Maybe they go with Nick Foles, though. Seeing how that unfolds, will it be via free agency or through a trade at the Eagles franchise tag him? And another team, when I'm just looking at teams that could potentially need a starting quarterback and don't have anyone behind them on the depth chart that could be that future franchise quarterback, the Miami Dolphins are another team. I'll rule the Dolphins out of it, though, because of the whole Castro t-shirt and the literacy rate comments with Castro that Kaepernick did make. So that puts two teams, the Jaguars and the Redskins, where he could go start next year if given an opportunity. Now, he could also play a backup role. And you could eventually get on the field if you are a backup. Panthers, like we mentioned. The Patriots. The Seahawks have been linked to him in the past. The Bengals, with some of the uncertainties with Andy Dalton. And, hey, Marcus Mariota gets banged up a lot. What about the Tennessee Titans? So those are some teams that I thought about. So it comes down to, does he want to play? And according to Mark Garagos, he does. But will he get that opportunity? I think it would be very compelling to see it unfold. I'd be on board with it. I'd be okay with it. But I have a feeling that he's not going to get that opportunity again in the National Football League. But Mark Garagos, his attorney, thinks he will.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We're asking you right now on our toll-free line, do you want to see Colin Kaepernick play again in the National Football League? And do you believe he will get that opportunity? I'd be okay if I see him play in the National Football League again. I don't think he will get that opportunity, though. But we'll see how NFL teams will elect to make that decision now. And like I said in the open, when this settlement did come to the scene on Friday, and we found out about it, that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid did settle with the NFL, it created a lot of speculation. It created a lot of thoughts on what does it mean for the NFL future of Colin Kaepernick. Because when you look around the league and you see some of the quarterbacks that are given an opportunity to play, Nate Peterman, Blake Bortles, you go, well, how much worse can Kaepernick be? You know, it can't get that much worse. And you have someone that got a team to a Super Bowl that they believed in, and they moved on from Alex Smith in favor of Colin Kaepernick. And this was a quarterback that did play in the Super Bowl and was a throw away from potentially winning that Super Bowl. Now, do I think he's a great quarterback? No, I don't. Do I think he could still play in this league or be a backup? Yes, I do. And with the way that the league is currently situated in terms of quarterback, there's not a lot of options in terms of starters. Brady in New England, he's not going anywhere. The Bills are going to ride with Josh Allen for now. The Jets are going to ride with Sam Darnold. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. The Chargers, Phillip Rivers. The Broncos, well, they just traded for Joe Flacco. The Raiders are rolling for now with Derek Carr. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson. Steelers, Big Ben. Browns, Baker Mayfield. The Texans, Deshaun Watson. Colts, Andrew Luck. Tennessee, Marcus Mariota. The Cowboys, Dak Prescott. Eagles, Carson Wentz. The Rams, Jared Goff. The Vikings, Kirk Cousins. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers. Breeze, Ryan, Cam Newton, so on and so on. But there are some potential openings where you could go start. Miami, but I don't see that with the Castro situation and what he said about that and what he wore about that. But two teams that could make sense are the Jaguars and the Redskins for this upcoming season. But after the Jaguars and the Redskins, it's all in a backup role. And will teams want to take on what comes with bringing in Colin Kaepernick, where it's such a divisive topic? A lot of fans will support it. A lot of fans will be against it. Do they want to bring in Colin Kaepernick as a backup instead of rolling with someone else? And it comes down to, do you think you could handle what is going to come with bringing him in? And do you believe it's a significant upgrade over your backup? And in some situations, if you think about it, if your quarterback goes down, would you rather have your backup right now or Colin Kaepernick? And in that case, there's a lot of answers where you say, yeah, I'd rather have Colin Kaepernick. But because of the strong emotions that this topic does elicit, some people may say, I want nothing to do with them. Others may say, I'm all on board for it. Ultimately, teams and owners, coaches and general managers will decide if he's given a second opportunity. But according to his attorney, he absolutely wants to play. So we'll see if he gets that chance. Let's head out to Virginia is our first stop. We talked to Matt on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing great.
So I just was driving home from work and I was just listening to your radio show, which I really like.
Thank you.
And I just don't know about, I don't know how Colin Kaepernick feels. I understand his attorney said one thing, and I understand how the legalities go and the, you know, how your lawyer wants you to say something, how your lawyer wants you to say nothing, but I feel like I would want him to come out and say something about how he, you know, what he wants to do. I know he's under a lot of scrutiny, but I just feel like, you know, we should hear something, if not today or the next few days, you know, something within the next week about how he personally feels.
I would love to hear something from him. I don't know how he would present it. I would imagine that he would not do it in an interview setting because there's so many things that he can't answer. Maybe if he makes a personal statement, you know, on his Twitter page, Instagram, whatever, that could be a road. But yeah, I would love to hear from him if he wants to play or not. But from the views of his attorney, which you think would represent your client, the attorney said on CNN that he would absolutely want to play. And the attorney thinks he will play or will be picked up by a team soon. Now, we've heard that before from the attorney. But yes, I would like to hear it from him, not just the attorney, but we probably won't hear from Colin Kaepernick because of what people are going to want to ask him about this. A lot of things he can't answer. But you could answer if you could play or not. There's no doubt about that. And there was some people who thought that with accepting whatever amount of money it was that we would never hear from him again in terms of playing in the National Football League. Well, that thought process did evaporate with the CNN interview from yesterday. CJ in Fort Worth, Texas, next up on CBS Sports Radio. CJ, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I'm going to just answer this with a question. Have you seen the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback situation? I am a diehard Jaguars fan. Believe you me, I wish we would pick up Kaepernick. Because, man, I tell you, this last season,
brutal.
I'm a diehard fan. And I went to that game against the Cowboys. That was the sickest game I ever seen in my life. Believe you me, I wish we'll pick him up.
Let me ask you a question, CJ. Would you rather have Nick Foles or would you rather have Colin Kaepernick?
Well, I'll be honest. The only problem with Nick Foles is this. As you've seen, you see how up and down Foles is. Now, I'll say this. I'm not really too sure if Kaepernick can play or not, but I'll say this. Man, if you seen Nathan Peterman has a job in the NFL. Nathan Peterman.
No doubt about it.
In fact, the Redskins picked up that guy, Josh Johnson. Mm-hmm. And, it was a caller that
who was out of the league for a few years.
No, not a few years. He was out
a long time.
2011.
Yeah, more than a few years.
2011. Now, if you trust Josh Johnson, you can't tell me you can't trust Kaepernick.
No, I hear you. And if I'm a Jaguars fan, I would say, hey, we just went through Blake Bortles. And even though he got them to an AFC championship game, then he was garbage the next year. And I don't even – I know they had to extend him because it's tough to justify a quarterback against an AFC championship game. But I thought that was the wrong move at the time. But, yeah, a team like the Jaguars is a team if they don't get Nick Foles, and they may because of the John DeFilippo connection. Remember, DeFilippo was the quarterback coach when the Eagles did win the Super Bowl and Foles was the MVP. But if they don't get Nick Foles, then Kaepernick could be in play there. And and it's like, what else do you go? If you don't get Foles, where else do you go? Do you go Teddy Bridgewater? That could be a possibility. Do you go in the draft? or do you want to go with Kaepernick? It comes down to the preference.
Yeah, and I was wondering, is what's kind of the free agent? I forgot his name, the one from Cleveland. Is he a free agent also?
Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor.
I believe, yeah, Tyrod Taylor is a free agent. If memory does serve me right, I think Tyrod Taylor is a free agent, but we will double check on that one. I'm personally, though, not a huge Tyrod Taylor fan in terms of him being my starting quarterback. I'm just not. And if I'm the Jaguars, it's better than what you had. Yeah, he is an unrestricted free agent this year. So, yeah, if the Jaguars, he's better than Blake Bortles, I could tell you that. But remember that playoff game, though? You had Jags and Bills? That was Tyrod Taylor and Blake Bortles. A real exciting game 2 years ago. It was one of the most boring football games I've ever seen. Tyler in Dallas. Tyler, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? You doing all right?
Doing great. Can't complain.
Hey, I don't know if people are so enamored by what's going on, like, with everything and him, but I remember him not being very good. Like, he could run the ball great, but he just wasn't a good passer. That was my big thing with him, and this is a passing league. And he's not even one of the best quarterbacks. Like you said, the Giants, the Jags, and I mean, like Cliff Kingsbury's gonna. He wants to go after what's his face? One of the best.
They say Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Nah, but you know what? You got it. Yeah, I think they'll stick with Rosen. I know that's fun radio conversation, but
yeah.
That's an ugly look if you move after Rosen for 1 year. But hey, they moved on from their head coach after 1 year.
But that's my point. Like you have there may be two teams in the league, maybe two or three teams in the league that he might be good enough to play for or back up for.
The Jaguars or the Redskins is where he could go walk into and start tomorrow. The Redskins with their quarterback situation with Smith being injured and the Jaguars having Blake Bortles, he could go there and start tomorrow. But then you get in the backup game, and you know what? I would take him as a backup. I'd be okay with him coming in as a backup. I'm not saying he'd be the best backup in the league, but you know, there's a lot of bad number two quarterbacks in the National Football League where you see, because of injuries, a team starting quarterback go down, and it's embarrassing the QB play that's on the field.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, man, I work in a factory, and we have guys that come in that's been hired, and they are what I call cancerous, man. They come in, they have attitude problems there. They don't gel well with the other guys and are brought in, and the people, the managers and supervisors get rid of them. If he doesn't gel well with the other people around him, like.
But we don't know if he will or not. There's a lot of players in the league that love Kaepernick. I'm sure there's some and that don't like him. But we don't know how he would gel with the team. That's why it'd be interesting to see it be unfold. And you know what? A team like the Patriots, if he goes there. It's not a team that deals with any distractions, and you go in and you got to be with the team. So I know the attorney mentioned the Patriots. I thought that was interesting. The Panthers, if Cam's not good to go, you have Eric Reed there. Eric Reed went there. They embraced him. If the guy could play, teams embrace talent. We've seen guys hit women. Get a second chance. Embraced. This guy was fighting for a good cause. Whether you like the way that he went about it or not is a totally different thing. But he had good intentions. And there's some things that he did that were, I thought, foolish. Like the pick cop socks. Did not send a good message. Because we need cops. We need good cops. There's a lot of good cops. We don't need the bad ones, though, that abuse their power, though. So Colin Kaepernick, if he gets another chance, I'm not saying it's a guarantee that he'll be great because there were some flaws in his play. I understand that. But you see a look at some of these quarterbacks of the National Football League that not only get a chance, but a second chance and a third chance. I get it, Mark Sanchez got the two AFC title games, but he's still getting opportunities in the National Football League. If you're the Redskins, and you're a Redskins fan, would you rather see another chance of Mark Sanchez, or Would you rather see Colin Kaepernick? I'd rather see Colin Kaepernick. If you're a Jaguars fan, would you rather see Blake Bortles or Colin Kaepernick? To me, it's Colin Kaepernick. And I get it. There's not a lot of situations where you could go in and start. Jaguars and Redskins, though, are two that come to mind. And then, if it's not a starting role, it's a backup. And you get into, well, is my backup better than Colin Kaepernick? I don't know how many backups are better than him. I don't, but we also haven't seen him play since 2016.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
On car insurance. To reset for you, we're talking about Colin Kaepernick, and we are wondering if you think he will get another opportunity to play in the National Football League, and do you want to see him play again? His attorney was on CNN yesterday. His attorney said Colin Kaepernick absolutely wants to play football again, and he believes one out of three teams will pick him up. And he said the Panthers and the Patriots naming them, and then a former coach that has ties with Kaepernick and a team in the National Football League being the other. So we'll see what happens from that. Let's continue to take your phone calls. We go out to Portland. We talk to Sam next up on CBS Sports Radio. Sam, thanks for making the phone call. How are you?
I'm great, and thanks for taking my call. A few things right off the bat. I don't think callers should be telling Kaepernick where or what he should do with his money. Secondly, if you're saying that he's not good enough to be in the NFL, you don't know football, you don't know history. He was in two NFC championships, and he went in the Super Bowl. If
agreed.
If Mark Sanchez can still play in the NFL, Colin Kaepernick can play. And thirdly, I served in the United States Army, Fort Benning, Georgia, and I served for people to have freedom, freedom of choice, including Colin Kaepernick. That is what we serve for. For your decision, for you to be able to make the choice that if the flag doesn't represent you, you can take a knee. If you go to a sporting event, a basketball game, a football game, a Winterhawks, whatever game it is, and you look around, you'll see people with their hats on, you'll see people sitting down in the urinal, they're on their phone, they're talking to their girlfriend, they're not paying any respect to the flag. So for people to come after him, it's hypocrisy, and they're not recognizing their own bias. Because my final point is this. If Pat Tillman, God rest his soul, and thank you for his service, were alive today and decided to take a knee next to Colin Kaepernick and say, I kneel with him, the entire country, we can assume, but I'm pretty sure, the entire country would be kneeling with both of them. But you have to recognize it's a black man who decided to stand up to the league and stand up to the country and require and expect more from both. And that's what this is about. So don't use the flag as an excuse. That's what we serve for, is your freedom of choice. Thank you for taking my call.
Sam, thank you for making it and for your insight. And thank you all for what you do for our great country. Thank you. And like I said, we have people that have served that will call in and will say what Sam just said, that they fought for Colin Kaepernick's right to be able to make the decision on if he wants to stand or kneel in front of the American flag. There's others that have served as well that feel a different way. And we appreciate both sides of the argument and both opinions. So thank you very much, Sam. Let's go to Danny in San Francisco. Danny, what do you have for me?
Well, okay, first off, it's really hard to follow, Sam. That was pretty good. I'm a diehard Niner fan, born and raised. And, you know, I hear prior to him just now, everything else that I've been listening to across the nation has no idea who this guy is. And now, don't get me wrong, he can't see the left side of the field, right? But we don't know what was decided upon with the settlement. This guy, prior to this, he gave away a ton of his own money, well, with no guarantee, contract. So this settlement could have a multitude of things. It could maybe not have him play, but things that he's fighting for that he wants the NFL to do. So people should be a little patient and not judgmental on what he's doing.
Well, you know what it is, Danny? Because of how divisive this topic is, he could give X amount of dollars like he's already have and try to spark change, but people feel so passionate either for what he did or they feel so passionately against what he did that if you feel positive about what he did, you're going to show the good that he does. But if you feel negative about what he did, you're going to try to paint him as a horrible person. And there's some things that he did in promoting this cause that he didn't go about it the right way. But you also have to acknowledge, even if you can't stand him, that he's done some good as well. And he's done more good than bad. And people don't do that because we have to make one opinion and stick to our opinion and be so one-sided about it. And like I said earlier, we could look at this, we could evaluate it, and you could feel one way about what happens, but you also have to acknowledge the other side and realize that, yes, there's some bad, but yes, there's also some good. And people don't do that.
Yeah. And you know, who of us has not made mistakes, right? Amen. You got it spot on. He has blown a lot of issues sometimes.
Yeah, and when you look at it, hey, a few things that I look at and say didn't go about it the right way, the caster literacy comments, the pig cop socks, and then if you're having such a passionate belief on this, you got to vote, in my opinion. But we could put that aside, even though it's some things that develop a lot of passionate and intense feelings and could also recognize this is a guy that has donated millions of dollars. This is a guy that is trying to create change. And we get so caught up in the flag because a lot of people feel so passionate about the flag that we fail to recognize what the actual message is. And some of that is driven because of the president and how much the president has made it about the flag. I've gone into NFL locker rooms. I've heard Malcolm Jenkins. I've heard Chris Long. I've heard Michael Bennett speak about this. I've also heard other players speak about this. You don't have to agree with everything they say, but it's important to listen. Because a lot of people just say, oh, it's an athlete. He's a big, dumb jock. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Just shut up and play football. No, they're human beings too. And they have their right to their opinions. And in their opinions, a lot of them do a lot of charitable work to try to spark and create change in the actual issue that they're raising awareness for. Omar in California. Omar, go ahead.
Hey, I mean, looking at his stats, it looks like he could be a backup somewhere. But, you know, the only thing that I think is maybe owners, you know, they were against him protesting. I mean, because he pretty much started a trend where, like, everybody's like, okay, I'm going to kneel too, you know, in support for Kaepernick. And at the end of the day, they were all divided on, the league was divided on, like, not supporting him anymore, you know. Like, they wanted to put a stop to it. And I'm just thinking maybe they see it as, like, they're going to lose fans and money, and that's something that owners don't want, you know, especially because football is a big sport. And it attracts a lot of fans, and it's worldwide.
But Omar, let me just interrupt you real quickly, because the NFL is as popular as ever, and it's as profitable as ever. What's the difference? And he didn't commit a crime. What's the difference when a team brings in someone that beat the crap out of a girl? And you know what? They bring them in, and if they win games, people forget about it. So what's the difference here?
Yeah, that is the sad part. That
people have killed people and returned to the National Football League. But just because someone kneels in front of a flag, that is what is the end-all be-all, that bringing in this player is going to ruin the team and ruin the league? Come on. Let's be fair here. Now, I understand. I'm not a dummy. You're going to have a lot of people that will not support him. And there's owners that are afraid of that. But I said it before and I'll say it again. The NFL is a drug. The NFL has survived murders, domestic violence, terrible, terrible things, criminal things. And we all come back and watch because we love football.
Now, I also understand, if you believe collusion was going on, which I don't know for 100% that it was, but if you believe collusion was going on, this settlement, how is it going to change an owner's mind to bring him in? And most likely he'll never play again in the National Football League. But all it takes is one owner that is willing to give him a chance and feels that they could deal with the backlash. That's what it's going to come down to. That one owner that wants to do it. And like I said, I don't believe he will play again in the National Football League. But if given a chance, I'm all for it and I'm fine with it.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's time to talk about Antonio Brown. Another day, maybe another step closer to the Steelers finally trading Antonio Brown, or they still may be very far away from doing so. This AB situation is a mess. AB is not the only one at fault. Big Ben needs to take accountability. Can't be lambasting teammates on the radio. Mike Tomlin needs to take control of his football team, and the entire organization has to just do a better job, because the talent that they've had on this roster should have been enough to win a Super Bowl with the trio, the trifecta of Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell. And we know it's inevitable that Antonio Brown is going to be leaving, and we know Le'Veon Bell will also be leaving as well. So we'll see if Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, and company can somehow find a way to get this team back where they should be. But you lose a whole lot of talent, it's going to be tough to replace that talent. And you didn't want to pay Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown, as great as he is, this relationship right now, I don't think you could fix it. Because Antonio Brown, who I once thought was an extremely hardworking player, who was a great story and still is a great story, but he was someone that was very easy to root for. Now he's not very easy to root for, because he's all about himself. And there's players that are all about themselves. But when it becomes toxic, and the entire environment is toxic right now, it becomes extremely tough to root for Antonio Brown when he's quitting on the team, when he's not showing up. And he could say there was an injury in week 17. Well, what about the other times he didn't show up? What about the other times he's went missing, or the other off-the-field problems that have been there? And the distractions that are just never ending. Well, Antonio Brown's problem right now is he can't stay off social media. And with every tweet, with every comment that he's making, and he shouldn't care about it, but he's hurting his trade value. And the Steelers, it's going to be tougher and tougher for them to trade him. Not that they won't trade him, but they're going to want something back. And Antonio Brown shouldn't care if he wants to move on about what the Steelers are going to get back, but it's going to complicate this process, because you're not just going to give him away for anything. Maybe eventually you have to resort to that, but it will just delay in you finally getting rid of him. Well, Antonio Brown, even though he should be quiet here, we do appreciate him being entertaining, if I'm being transparent with you. Because with AB, he did a Ask AB 10 questions on Twitter. He elicited a ton of responses, over 4,700 replies that we could see just off the Ask AB answering 10 questions, and then a bunch of other responses with the responses that he made. Let me highlight a few of them. Some are clear in his thoughts. Others are vague. Him being vague on social media, though, is not a surprise, because in this process, he's thrown a lot of shade but have not made it extremely clear. So one question was very simple. What caused the conflict between you and Ben Roethlisberger? Hashtag AskAB at AB84 on Twitter. No conflict, AB said, just a matter of respect. Mutual respect. He has a owner mentality like he can call out anybody, including coaches. Players know, but they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, they mail ticket gone. It's a dirty game within a game. Hashtag truth. So, no conflict happened with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, but AB can't stand him right now because of that radio interview. Well, that's a big problem. People say, oh, can they fix this relationship? You have the wide receiver saying there isn't mutual respect. Yep, that's not going to work. Next one that we will highlight. Guy named Michael says to AB, who would be those teams that you would like to play for? Antonio Brown. We'll try to translate this one for you. Best interest, this be my first meeting with Mr. Rooney ever as Antonio Brown, the man, not AB84, the player in the locker with a handshake emoji. I've never been to my house, their house. Like, what am I really doing? Less than what you bargained for, more than real. Hashtag truth. Tough to translate that one. If I take my best educated guess, it's him saying this is the first time I'm actually treated as a human being, not just the player, and I get to meet with the owner at his house. So, doesn't answer the question, though, of who would be those teams that you would like to play for. So, I don't really get that answer, but it's one of those that you say, tough to translate there. Another fan says, is there any chance you stay with the Steelers, or is that chance gone? AB says, love Steeler Nation, everything to my heart, no more. Huh? That doesn't really answer the question. AB, is there any chance you stay with the Steelers? Love Steeler Nation, everything with my heart, no more. Is the no more that there's, is that you saying that you're not going to be there anymore? Like, what is it? A simple yes or no would have been better. Now, here's another one. A fan says, you sat out on our last game against the Bengals. If you love the game as much as you say, regardless of your $70 million you made, you shouldn't be able to sit out so easily. AB quote tweeted by saying, after the coach tell the team I quit while nursing some bumps, then invite me to watch the show with the same guys thinking I quit. I cannot stand with that. I'm the bad guy, Doe. We missed the postseason. Think about it. So this is AB saying that he didn't quit. It was because of an injury, and he's the scapegoat for them missing the postseason. That's the way I translate that. Well, even if you had an injury in week 17, why'd you go missing? Why have you gone missing before in the past? So that's when it looks like you're quitting, especially earlier in the year where you failed to show up on a Monday. And there was all that speculation with another vague tweet about you demanding a trade. So I don't get AB sometimes. I don't. Heck of a talent, heck of a player. I'd want him on my team. But you need to stop with the social media stuff. If you're going to put things on social media, can we make it direct, please? Can we actually know sometimes what you're talking about? But he keeps on adding fuel to the fire. Taking a shot at the coach, taking a shot at the quarterback. This thing has zero chance at surviving this relationship. And we'll see where he goes next. What is going to be the trade? What is going to be the move? We'll eventually have the answer on that. Now, I had to jump into the fun, and I had two serious questions for Antonio Brown, hoping that he would maybe select my tweets. And then I had one joking tweet, saying maybe this guy would find it funny and elect to use one of his 10 tweets on something that was so ridiculous. I'll give you the two serious questions first, as I was trying to be a big-time investigative journalist and get some answers from the controversial Antonio Brown. I asked him, do you think Mike Tomlin is the right coach for the Steelers? Do you think Mike Tomlin has control / respect of the players? Well, judging by some other tweets, and this one was sent before he had his other tweet about Tomlin, I don't think he respects Mike Tomlin and enjoys Mike Tomlin right now. And Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat this year. I didn't think he was going to get fired this year, but, you know, for this past season, but moving into this year, that team doesn't change and improve significantly. Yeah, he's going to be out. My other tweet was, ask AB, did you throw a football at Ben in week 17, in the week 17 situation? He said there was no confrontation, so take it for what it's worth. But there was a report that he threw a football at Ben Roethlisberger. And I would love to have more details about that. And then here was my joking tweet, which I'm actually going to ask Ben Horowitz to respond to. This one I actually once heard at a Super Bowl media day, and I thought it was a hilarious and thought-provoking question. I said to ask Antonio Brown, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? And I wrote to AB, thanks, I'll hang up and listen. So, Mr. Ben Horowitz, you play the role of AB. Let's say you elected to respond to my question. Ben Horowitz, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Easy. 100 duck-sized horses I would take on in a minute before a horse-sized duck.
And your thought process is what? Because there are 100 smaller duck-sized horses that you could just step on them and easily get away than the one gigantic horse-sized duck.
Yeah, if you're the size of a horse, I ain't taking you down. I'm the first to admit it. You're not taking them down. Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah, you could probably run away, but if it's a battle to the death, if we're, you know, in the Colosseum in ancient Rome and there's no escaping, you're going to lose eventually. At least if I have 100, you know, duck-sized horses, I can kick some, I can choke some out, I can wrestle them, I can kind of fend them off. Might not win, but I got a much better chance of winning than the horse-sized duck.
I asked this question, or I heard this question asked to two people. One was to Tom Brady at the Super Bowl media day 2 years ago. Tom Brady went the opposite way of you and said he would rather fight the one horse-sized duck, really didn't offer an explanation. I asked my sister this question, though, when I was driving in tonight to our CBS Sports Radio studios, and she said that she'd rather fight the 100 duck-sized horses. So she was with you. And then I said to her, like I said to you, what, because you could just stomp on the duck-sized horses? And she goes, I would never stomp on an animal. Well, then how would you defeat the 100 duck-sized horses?
What do you do with that?
Why it's tough.
Why play in the hypothetical if you're going to poo-poo the hypothetical?
Mm-hmm. She probably called PETA afterwards.
Exactly. Reported you. I'm sure there's people around the country listening right now that are reporting us to PETA.
He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
All-Star Weekend. Well, it's here. It is the weekend. It's Saturday. You had the event on Friday. You had the three events on Saturday. And then you have the big All-Star game, in air quotes, on Sunday, today. I don't think I'll watch a single second intentionally of the All-Star game. I am going somewhere today with some friends, and they may put it on, but I will not go out of my way to demand to watch the All-Star game in the NBA. I personally don't care about it. Saturday, though, last night, I do enjoy the skills challenge, the three-point contest, and the slam dunk contest. However, I don't know how much I enjoyed after last night. I always get excited about it because when I was a kid, I enjoyed it. I thought it was so cool and so much fun. The skills challenge, I was all locked into. What Jason Tatum did, takes a half-court shot when I believe it was Trae Young was lining up for the three, and his three goes in Tatum's, and it knocks what would have been the winner for Young. It knocks his three out. It was amazing. It was amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So that was very cool that Tatum hit the half court shot to win the skills challenge. I thought that was was very neat, and I enjoyed it a lot. Then I go, okay, let me watch the three-point contest. Three-point contest, it was okay. There's too many people in it. I was locked in for the first few names, and then you go, all right, this thing is never ending. But Joe Harris of the Brooklyn Nets did win. Now, the slam dunk contest, this is my favorite thing growing up of All-Star Weekend. The highly anticipated slam dunk contest. Couldn't wait for it, right? It's going to be sensational until you see the names that are in this one. There's no star power. There's no star power in this dunk contest in the field. Man, the dunk contest is not fun anymore. And people, they get 50s for everything now. And they get so excited. I get it. And people that are broadcasting, it's up to them to try to make it seem as if it's the best thing in the world. But this dunk contest was garbage. And I get it. The Diallo dunk over Shaq was cool and all that. But can we actually get some star talent in the dunk contest? Can we get some big names in there? And it's just comical when they try to talk up a dunk contest and you go, this is really the names that we're going with? John Collins? Miles Bridges? Dennis Smith Jr.? And Diallo from OKC, who ended up winning it. The slam dunk contest, I usually love it, like I said. Lost interest. After first few dunks, took a shower and got in my car and drove in here. So, locked in with the first event. Second event, paying attention early, then started to lose interest. Slam dunk contest, enough. I'm not saying get rid of it, but we got to get better names in here. When they're breaking it down before it starts saying, oh, you got to watch out for Dennis Smith Jr. And I'm not saying these guys can't dunk. But how did I get excited over Dennis Smith Jr., who was at the dunk contest last year? I think he finished like third or whatever it was. John Collins have a nice year. Does that make me say, I got to alter my plans on a Saturday night? Let's say I was doing something instead of getting ready for the show. You know, I got to alter my plans to watch John Collins in the dunk contest. Now, you give me LeBron James, I'm altering my plans. You put Kevin Durant in the dunk contest, I'm altering my plans. Give me the Greek Freak in the dunk contest again, I'm altering my plans. But if I was someone that wasn't hosting a radio show later, I'm going to go out on a Saturday night. Oh, I'm going to go grab some dinner, whatever. Go out to a club. John Collins, make you alter your plans? Miles Bridges? Diallo? Dennis Smith Jr.? You altering your plans? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't. So, usually I enjoy the Saturday part of All-Star Weekend, and I don't usually like a lot of All-Star events. MLB All-Star Game, I used to love it as a kid. Doesn't really do it for me anymore. The Pro Bowl is a joke. The NHL All-Star Game, the John Scott year was fun. I don't really care for it anymore. But the NBA All-Star event, the weekend, I don't care for Sunday, don't care for Friday. Saturday, I usually do still care for. This year, though, after the skills challenge and a few rounds of the three-point contest, you may have, well, just not even tuned in. Let's go to Redding, California. Cody is on the line. And Cody was tweeting me at Zach Gelb on Twitter. What's the deal, Cody? You were annoyed that you were calling in the last few nights and they weren't putting you on the air? What happened, Cody?
I don't know. As your producer, I'm not the one who's in charge of that.
Well, what's going on? You were just calling and no one was picking you up?
Yeah, no, I mean, I heard the whole show through the phone, which
is
cool, because I don't have radio out here, but yeah. But no, it was cool, bro. So my main thing is that in terms of All-Star Saturday night, just speaking tonight in general, you said you liked the skills challenge the most, was that correct?
From what we actually saw last
tonight,
night?
From tonight.
Yeah, what we saw was, I thought the skills challenge was the most entertaining thing on television. Usually I would say it's a dunk contest, but none of those names really got me excited.
I thought the skills challenge was the worst.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah. Because they took all the skills out of the challenge. So what it used to be was you used to have to zigzag down, make a chest pass, and then you had to zigzag back down and make a bounce pass, and then you had to zigzag back down and make a three. Now it's just you zigzag down once, make a chest pass, and then they sprint. Trey Young threw the ball like 40 feet in front
he did.
Of him.
You know what? I thought that was very weak out of Trey Young. Yeah. I did. However, I enjoyed it because it's a direct competition, and even though they take things out, and you know, you're saying they have, you know, they take things out, but you have two guys going up against each other on the court.
Well, I like that.
It's just something. It's fun to watch. Like it keeps you entertained instead of all right. You have one guy shoot a 3-point. Go through the entire thing on 3 points, and it drags out too long.
No. I get you on that. Like the head-to-head, seeing them do it together, who's going to win, you know, that is sick. And I do like that. I just wish they would put more skill back into it. What I think it should be is zigzag down, you know, chest pass, zigzag down, layup, then bounce pass, and then zigzag down and a three-pointer. It doesn't make it that much more longer.
And by the way, I didn't realize this. Someone just tweeted me this, so thank you to Kevin B on Twitter. I guess he's an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. He said Diallo played for them in the G League last Sunday. The guy's in the dunk contest. He was in the G League last week, if that's true. That's a joke. Well, now let me ask you an important question.
I don't want to get started on the OKC Thunder because I'm an original Seattle Supersonics fan.
Gotcha. Real quickly, though. 100,
what?
100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? What's the one that you'd rather fight?
Oh, yeah, being your producer, we're going at that. All right. By far, I would rather take 100 duck-sized horses, no doubt, because they are duck-sized. You know, as long as they don't have claws or sharpened teeth, I'm going against them. And I told your producer this too. I would rather fight 100 duck-sized horses than one horse-sized teddy bear. I mean, think about that. That is a big thing. That is mass. That is
so basically, you're playing Dance Dance Revolution with the 100 horse-sized ducks. That's what you're doing. You're playing DDR, just trying to stomp as many as you can.
Dude, I would kick them like they were the people in Wizard of Oz, man. I would just start punching them like I was Johnny Hecker.
Well, hopefully you don't get bit by them, because then you could have a problem. Cody, appreciate the phone call. I knew a question like that would be right up Cody's alley.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Without further ado, as we end each and every Sunday show, we do so with a little game I like to call Sunday Stocks. Hit it! Straight cash, homie, money, money, money.
Another week is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down.
Sell.
It's Sunday Stocks, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
We got to incorporate, by the way, Horowitz, a little straight cash homie in Sunday Stocks. One of my favorite sound drops of all time.
That's a bad job out of me to not think of that. Honest, I'm pissed at myself. The fact that that wasn't even the first thing that came to my mind. It should have been.
I gave Ben Horowitz a compliment today, and it turns into Ben Horowitz eventually saying, "That's a bad job out of me."
It's a terrible job.
I've never heard those words come out of your
borderline
mouth.
Borderline fireable offense.
Ugh, fireable offense.
Borderline.
I wouldn't say fire Ben Horowitz because he was stupid and not putting a drop in there. Here's the beauty of radio. And I elected to air that grievance publicly. You could just, when you're back in, what is it? You're not in 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Make sure you get it done, because we know Graceffa's not going to do anything that we ask him to do.
Kidding me? Graceffa doesn't do anything, period. Let alone anything we ask him to do for the show.
But he's a hamster that runs around on the wheel here and controls the wheel too sometimes.
I would never describe him as someone who runs, period.
It's a big hamster.
Yeah, take a look at him. He ain't running anywhere. Doesn't even run to McDonald's.
All right, first stock up, Poop Johnson. You may say, who? Who's Poop Johnson? Well, he was signed by the Toronto Argonauts. That's not the reason I'm talking about him. I love his personality, though. His real name is not Poop, but it's a nickname that was given to him. And in an interview when he was playing at Kentucky, someone asked him, why does your weight keep on moving at an odd range between like 300 to 280 pounds at an odd rate? He goes, because I poop a lot. That's how he got the nickname Poop Johnson. Well, the CFL team signed him, and it got a lot of buzz on Twitter, and we usually don't talk about the CFL, but the stock of Poop Johnson is very high, so give Poop Johnson a little poop of the scoop stock up. Stock up number two, someone that, when he was in the NFL, played like poop. That's Birmingham Iron running back of the Alliance of American Football, Trent Richardson. Had the game-winning touchdown yesterday in their 2-0 start, had two touchdowns last week, and he's no longer playing like poop. So a nice job for Trent Richardson with the Birmingham Iron. A little stock up to Trent Richardson. Hopefully nobody trades a first-round draft pick for him, though. Which, I don't even know, will they have a draft next year in the AAF? If they have a different pool, it's just sign people free agency.
Does anybody care?
Yes. Sean Mraz. He's the biggest AAF fan.
We'll get to that a bit later.
Ooh, a little tease. Okay, what do you got for me?
First stock up goes to the National Football League. There's a lot of folks out there saying, good for Colin Kaepernick. He proved that there was collusion. Good for Eric Reed. And good for them. They got a great payday. But guess what? There was no proof that any collusion took place. The league got every single thing that it wanted out of this case. They ended the conversation. They got them to shut up about it in writing. And now we get to move on, and the league can put this issue, which is right up there with CTE in terms of their arch nemesis, out of the way. We can get past the Kaepernick kneeling. We can move forward and talk to football. Call it what you want. The NFL got a big win this week in ending this whole saga. Stock up, National Football League.
What happens if Kaepernick signs with the team?
He's not going to.
Okay.
No chance. Again, that's part of it.
But does the talk really go away? Because when Nate Peterman throws another interception or whoever, people will still say, well, how doesn't Colin Kaepernick get a job?
And you know what can happen? Colin Kaepernick ain't going to comment on it. Because he got paid, and he took the money to keep his mouth shut. Second stock up, and people are going to start calling me the capitalist, but it goes to Major League Baseball owners. Because as we see this offseason, you've got players still yet to sign. The Manny Machados, the Bryce Harpers. What's going on? It's no secret. It's a market correction. They were shilling out money left and right for years. I thought to myself, how is this sustainable? In about 5 years, we're going to have a $1 billion contract. Well, guess what? They took the reins from the most powerful players union in sports, and now they're back in control. Good for them taking control of their league as the employer. Stock up, MLB owners.
Before the three-point contest started last night, they did a function, a competition for charity, which is good. Del Curry calls out Ray Allen, Mark Price, and Glenn Rice to assist him, and the Curry boys would have to donate a certain amount of money for every shot made. Here was the problem, though. Ray Allen went 0 for 5. Del Curry went 2 for 10. Mark Price went 1 for 5. And then Glenn Rice did a nice job, 3 for 5. That's not enough money raised for charity. You would have thought Ray Allen would at least made 1 3-pointer. You thought Del Curry would make more than 2 out of 10, and Mark Price only makes 1 out of 5. So a stock down to those four, and sorry to Glenn Rice, but you were in the competition, so it wasn't enough money. So a stock down to those four. Here we go, next stock down. Matt Kuchar. What a loser this guy is. So he wins $1.3 million at a tournament. Not only does he win $1.3 million, he made about like $45 million on the course in his career and $75 million total on course, off course in earnings. This guy has a caddy at a certain event. David El Toucan Ortiz wins $1.2 million only elects to tip the caddy $5,000 and says for a guy who makes $200 a day, a $5,000 week is a really big week. What a jerk. What an arrogant loser this guy is. And because he got beat up publicly, he finally caved and gave the guy $50,000. Matt Kuchar, man, it's one thing to be cheap. It's another thing to just be a jerk. And that's what you were this past week in handling this situation. So stock down to Matt Kuchar.
First stock down goes to AAF Trumpeters. Those out here saying, oh, look at this. Look at that. It sucks. If you're out here live tweeting the AAF, you need to get a life. I mean, what are we doing? We're watching quarterbacks go 3 of 11 in games. You're out here touting Trent Richardson as if that guy's ever going to sniff an NFL field again. Give me a break.
Christian Hackenberg.
I mean, what are we doing? Give me a break. And
Temple's still sacking him.
This goes specifically to Sean Marash. I mean, what are we? We're trying to pretend we're like this trendy newfangled thing. Give me a break, Sean. Give me a break, AAF. Stock down. And second stock down goes to Antonio Brown. I'm going to keep this simple and short. How do you go from being on pace to being the greatest wide receiver ever to teams being wary of wanting to trade for you? You are an idiot. Lay off the Twitter, keep your mouth shut, and go to work. Stock down.
A lot of hot takes from Ben Horowitz. A lot of name calling, too.
Not a hot take. Do your job.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.